Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Annex Wealth Management is a local fee-only fiduciary providing investment, retirement, tax, and estate planning. Know the difference. Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
The waiting game continues. What a Strait of Hormuz standoff could mean for your portfolio and jobs. How about $115,000 for a nice round number? This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Great to have you here. I'm Joe Krause, Chief Economic Strategist. Dr. Brian Jacobson is here. Hey, Brian.
Hey, it's great to be here.
And CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, Mother's Day weekend. And of course, you cannot let that go by. Yeah. Folks, if you don't know, you better know, right?
Yes.
And I was just thinking, Brian, about all the good things that mothers teach us, right? And to be polite and all of these things. But I can tell you from sitting across from a table for all of these decades with moms and dads, the one thing I can tell you is my proverbial Mrs. Kuskevevitz, sometimes she might not know the alphas and the betas and the things we're talking about, but she knows what she knows.
Oh, yeah, definitely. In my own home, and happy Mother's Day to my mom because she listens, so does my dad. So hopefully he remembered to get her a card.
Exactly.
You know, we'll find out. But, you know, some of those lessons, a lot of them, the life lessons, but some of the money management lessons as well. In terms of just, I think back as far as just teaching the importance of saving,
right?
Not necessarily being so impulsive with buying things, just because you see it and it's shiny doesn't mean you need it.
Right.
And, you know, those are things that you instill at a very young age, and it can really pay dividends over the long term.
Pay dividends for certain. You know, moms, they want security. Sometimes somebody else in the room might want growth, but moms want security for themselves and their kids and their family. And that's certainly something that we talk about. You referenced paying dividends, of course, and earnings are coming out this week, and they are absolutely stunning. In fact, I don't really remember recently, Brian, a 20% earnings quarter, but that's what we have.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen year-over-year growth of more than 20%. I think the last time was really coming out of COVID, which you would kind of expect. You had a big drop and then you get a big bounce back. But in terms of where we are economically, to have this type of earnings growth is almost unprecedented. That can be an abused term, of course, but most of the time when you're coming out of a recession, that's when you see this very rapid earnings growth. But I don't think we're coming out of a recession. I don't think we're going into one either. There were a couple like one-off tax benefits with some of the big tech companies, because under the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, we know that for 2026, lots of incentives for investing in property, plant, and equipment. But there are also some things that were for 2025, especially related to like research and development. And the big tech companies, since they do tend to invest in what we would call those intangibles, as opposed to tangible assets. Tangible, you can, you know, kick it and stub your foot on. The intangible, as far as the research, they did get some benefit there. But even stripping out those effects, it was still and has been an outstanding earnings season.
And, you know, we talk about earnings season in the aggregate, right? You're going to read probably a lot this weekend about that it's trading in a number of narrow issues. But I am looking at a number of names, and it is every stock for itself. In other words, if a company that is not part of the AI revolution, a part of the data centers, if it's outside of that area and it is reporting growing sales and growing net income, it's being rewarded, and vice versa. If you're missing, you're getting it handed to you.
So true. And that's one of the things that a lot of people look at the market and like, oh, it's only driven by sentiment. Well, no, it also is driven by those fundamentals. And that's what we like to monitor is when these companies report, and if they beat or miss expectations, how does the stock price react? And what I've seen in the data is that the fundamentals do matter. Obviously, the guidance, the things that the CEOs are talking about on those earnings calls about what they think they might do over the next year, next 2 years, that also moves the stocks. But people are, I think, realizing that the corporate profit picture is a lot prettier than what they were expecting.
Right. And you think about, you know, why they could happen amongst all of the disarray that's happening around the world. But every time you see something happen in Iran, you can see the oil market going one way and the equities market going the other way. And so we'll see what happens this weekend. We said that the last few weekends, we'll see what happens over the weekend if there's some movement. But it sure looks like at least it's headed in the right direction.
That's right. If we were to just look at the economy, how things are trudging along without the geopolitics, I would say that really the longer term signal that we're seeing is one of not just resilience of the consumer and resilience of corporate profits, but also a broadening base. It's not just a narrow few names. You know, I just look back at this past week, a company like McDonald's, right? They reported and they've pivoted a little bit to do a little bit more value to cater towards lower income individuals. That's actually paying off so far. It seems like it has increased traffic, but then they also have that big arch burger, I think is what they call it, to more higher income. And that apparently is also helping.
But it goes back, Brian, to this, you know, we've beaten this to death over the last year, this K-shaped economy, right? And this is a perfect example. So if you're a data center company, you're being rewarded. And if you're McDonald's seeing a slowdown with your consumers, it's the other way around. And the other thing I want to get to, speaking of consumers and really at the end of the day, jobs. We got a jobs report on Friday morning and things look good.
Yeah, the 115,000 non-farm payrolls, that was the increase going from March to April. So this was for the month of April. That exceeded most economists' expectations. So it was a pleasant surprise. And if you just kind of level set a little bit, in January we had a big drop, then February a big gain. So people were thinking, well, maybe it's going to be another kind of slowdown. But instead, you know, you have 2 months in a row of those triple digit gains, and that it gets people's attention. And one of the things in that report, though, in terms of looking at manufacturing. So manufacturing has been shedding jobs for basically like the last at least 2 years, according to ADP, that's based on their data. For the last 3 months, we have seen net job creation in the manufacturing sector. So maybe the tide is beginning to turn there. And plus, let's look at wages. Average hourly earnings increased about 3.6%, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics data. And if inflation was about 3.3%, which is what it was in March, according to the Consumer Price Index, that means real earnings are actually increasing. So even though it might not feel like it, that 3.6% is greater than the 3.3%.
Right.
So I think that's a key thing that can help keep the consumer doing what they do best, which is consume, is to have the real wage gains.
Right. And the last thing I do want to get to before we go to break is, of course, people are saying, wow, this thing has gone through the roof in a short period of time, you know, the bubble word and things of that nature. But what is shocking that multiples have for the index have actually compressed. And what that means is the PE ratio actually went down despite this rally.
That's right. Yeah. So you see the price goes up and you're like, why is the price continuing to go up? It's got to be growing faster than what the earnings are. But that's why you look at that ratio. What is the price relative to the earnings? And it's because the earnings coming through earnings season here, exceeding 20% growth. I mean, that is really solid. And so companies can grow into those valuations. So I think that's a key thing. A high price to earnings ratio in 1 month can actually become a lower price to earnings ratio if companies are growing into that price.
Joe, this is really when we talk about know the difference, bringing investment management with the tax plan, with the estate plan, and wrap it with the whole financial plan.
That's right. And if retirement is getting closer or you are a few years in, there might be a few things you have questions about. How are these latest headlines affecting what you have worked hard for? Maybe there's something you don't need. Are you paying too much for something? Maybe it feels like you have too many accounts and you want to feel more organized. Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Custom-tailored investment and retirement planning from a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Well, a new Wall Street Journal analysis shows that fewer retirees and workers feel secure about having enough saved even after years of market growth. So the big question becomes, is this a short-term confidence problem or maybe a long-term reset in how Americans think about retirement, especially when it comes to planning? Good thing Director of Retirement Plan Services, Tom Parks, is here. Hey, Tom.
Thank you for having me.
Tom sees a lot of this, helps a lot of folks and companies, and inflation, we hear about that all the time. That's easing by the numbers. Why does retirement still feel farther away for so many different people? I know that kind of depends on the situation, but for some, it really does.
Yes, it definitely depends on the person. You know, everyone's situation is a little different. You mentioned inflation. That's one thing where we look at, and Brian Jacobson and I do these inflation updates whenever the numbers come out. And inflation has cooled a lot since a few years ago when it was really high. But just because the number has gone down, prices are still going up. They're just not going up as fast as they used to. So the overall cost of living, I think, is contributing to this anxiety that people are having about having a secure retirement.
Well, and sometimes it's not about the numbers. It's about the emotion and being emotional, maybe reacting by overreacting. And so is the drop in confidence more about the math or more maybe about the psychology?
I think it's a combination of the two, because you and I looked at a bunch of different articles that kind of contributed into this conversation. There is a cohort of Americans who just have not saved much at all for retirement. And they're right to be concerned about how that's going to pan out for them in the long run. But then you have other people who have been saving and they start looking at what's it going to cost. The other thing is you've got YouTube videos and all this other stuff where people talking about,
noise.
You know, you got to have $3 million to retire. Yeah. And it's like, okay, hold on a second.
Yeah.
Yes, there is a ton of noise out there. And then the math gets confusing. But then there is a group of people who's more concerned probably than they need to be because they're listening to the wrong people freak them out. So my daughter just started working. She's 20 years old. She's a hairstylist. And I told her, it's an easy one for her. Start saving now. Don't worry about how much you're going to have or any of that stuff and get into the habit of saving. We'll worry about the details later. Once you've been doing this for a while and you're, you know, kind of getting up there, been in your career for a while, now you got to start saying, okay, how much am I saving? Am I doing pre-tax or Roth? Where am I investing this money? Getting closer to retirement. Then you really got to start looking at, okay, what do I have right now? You know, how is that going to grow? And what am I doing to contribute to it? The answers to all of them are different depending on kind of where you're at in the process.
And what kind of lifestyle do you want to lead? That first year, you're thinking you have all this money because you see it all right away, but you've got to be able to plan to live longer because Americans are living longer for the most part. And traditional retirement rules, like we always hear about the 4% rule.
When you talk about things like the 4% rule and the way retirement really works out in real life, it doesn't look anything like the basic projections because it's going to be a bigger number usually earlier in retirement, and then it kind of tapers off for a while. You get some of that stuff that you want to do out of your system, and then there aren't as many expenses. But then the expenses can go back up again later in retirement for health reasons and stuff like that. So when people think about the 4% rule or whatever it is, it's highly unlikely that your retirement is going to look the same from a distribution strategy perspective every year throughout retirement. There are going to be phases where it's more sometimes, less others. You just want to make sure that you have enough to weather the entire sequence of events, but then do kind of keep an eye on the sequence. And that's why we do planning with people, because the plan is a constantly evolving thing that it reacts and adapts to what happens in your life.
Yeah, you can't plan to a perfect scenario. Life happens, things happen. You want to change lifestyles, downsize, help kids with something. But when we talk about inflation obviously easing. We talked about that at the start of this, but how much damage does inflation do to retirement plans that really can't be fixed because it's been a little tough over the past couple of years?
Sure. Well, and that's where you start looking at inflation of what? You know, how much of your budget is gas and how much of it is grocery? Because everybody's spending patterns vary based on their lived experience. Fortunately, we see a lot of everything here at Annex because we have a bunch of clients. Well, we saw this thing and we saw that. You know, we can help people kind of anticipate and walk through, because a lot of times I think people just don't know. They're like, well, I don't know what's going to happen.
Talk to somebody like some of my friends. Maybe they're in their 40s. Maybe they're in their 50s. Maybe they're in their 30s. It's too late for me.
Oh, that's terrible. That is absolutely not true. That's no good. Hopelessness is never a good strategy, I would say. And if you are in your 30s and 40s, it's certainly not too late. Now, if you have that attitude and you don't change your behavior, well, then eventually that it's too late thing will end up becoming a reality. But it's definitely not the case in those ages. Oh, my gosh, I wish.
So if you are 5 or 10 years to retirement, you're thinking, okay, how do I need to plan for this? You're thinking about a fruity drink. You're thinking about being on the sandy beach, traveling, the kind of lifestyle you want to lead maybe in the first year or two. But 5 to 10 years from retirement, what's the single smartest thing maybe to make an adjustment to today?
Pay attention to what you're doing with your money. Pay attention to where your money is currently invested and pay attention to what your budget looks like now. Think about it and then start envisioning what's it going to look like. How will this likely be different in the future? And I would say get together with a planner. It's very hard to do, and it's nice to have someone who's gone through this before with a bunch of other people. Don't have as much emotional investment in your finances as you do, and so you get someone who has kind of a clearer picture. But you got to start planning now and start paying attention. The closer you are to retirement, the more critical that becomes.
He's the Director of Retirement Plan Services, Tom Parks at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for being on the show, Tom.
Thank you.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, more in-person events this past week, so thank you if you've joined us. We always love to see you in person. Love to see your questions, too, with our live webinars. Another one coming up this Tuesday, Instant Insight, Inflation Trends. It's this Tuesday, May 12th, 9 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Eastern. Some people call inflation the silent thief, what it could mean for you making moves in your current portfolio. And we love taking your questions live. Dr. Brian Jacobson will be on that one. And, you know, I have a question. Why aren't we seeing inflation in the headlines as much? Is it just because we've kind of beat it to death, or, you know, or is it not as bad?
Well, I think it's almost become like that background noise, right? So it's been there. It's been an issue. We know it's there. And so now it's more about what's going on in terms of what could change the trend for inflation. And a lot of that obviously has to deal with energy prices. You see the Strait of Hormuz, what's going on there? How long will the situation persist? How long will gasoline prices stay where they are? I just went and filled up my tank and it was like, you know, $4.40 a gallon. Now, as a little pro tip there, right? You can look at some of those credit cards that are issued by the oil companies and maybe get 15 cents per gallon off. You know, all that stuff kind of adds up a little bit. And so I think the biggest reason is the big debate right now in the economics area is the extent to which this headline increase in gasoline prices is going to eventually seep into other goods and services that we purchase as well.
And how long would that normally take for something like that to happen?
It really depends on how long that impulse persists, right? So if it is a few months where suddenly you see the price go up for gasoline, price goes up for diesel, right? Shipping costs go up. Businesses don't always and automatically pass their input cost increases on to consumers if it's going to be short-lived. It's more when it's persistent, right? So it's kind of like the difference between if you have just like, oh, it's like an acute cough or something like that. It's just very brief versus is it more chronic, a chronic condition? The more chronic it becomes, the more likely it is that it will show up in the other things that consumers buy.
This week, hey, we got an in-person event at our Brookfield headquarters, Destination Retirement. Are we there yet? Thursday, May 14th. Is retirement getting closer? Learn ways to put all the pieces together and maximize smart investing. Annex can help. Click events at annexwealth.com and reserve your spot. Glad you're here with us this morning. Time for news. Let's go to the WTMJ Breaking News Center.
Planning and investing insight from a fee-only fiduciary. You're listening to Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Reminder, we've been doing this show. I haven't, but Dave Spano, our CEO of Annex Wealth Management, has been on the show for 20 years, and that's a lot of change as far as what's happened in the economy. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago, but also how things have changed with how people find us as well. It used to be a phone number. Now it's a website, and, you know, we've evolved over time.
Yeah, you talk about 20 years. And 6 radio stations and 3,000 shows. You think I would be better at radio, right? After all of that practice. But yeah, it certainly has changed, Joe. You know, back when we started, people would call. We'd give out a phone number, and then they would call generally, not on the weekend, but Monday, Tuesday, and say, I heard what you said. I'm interested in getting a second opinion. We'd take the call, and we'd schedule the meeting. How about Tuesday at 2? Well, it's really not that today. And so we talk a lot about hit the get started button. People can hit that, can say which branch I want to go to, the type of advisor that I would like, and so on and so forth. And so it has certainly evolved. But more importantly, we've evolved. And we've evolved to meet our client where they're at. And a lot of that time back then, it was some really basic financial planning. Today, we've really evolved. When I talk about know the difference, it is bringing all of the talented team members that we have, including the guy across the studio from me, Brian Jacobson, and his PhD. And you talk about the CPAs that we have, the estate planning lawyers that we have on staff, the financial planners. We bring that entire team to the prospective client. And I do think that is a major know the difference minute.
And because I've been in that situation before where I have people all over the place. And to make a phone call right now to all of those people, you have to go through the automated system. Now we've made it easier where you can just click a button. So making a phone call these days is a little bit taboo.
Well, you know, but still, you can call, right?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, we still have that number.
Yeah.
That
I still have a rotary phone.
Yep, if that is your preference.
You really? I do, yeah. Well, it's in the basement. It's the emergency phone.
Oh, the funny thing is, my father worked for the phone company, so we had a lot of telephones. He had the old payphone rotary phone.
Wow.
And then also one with the little touchpad on it. And I wonder if you put that in front of a millennial, if they'd know how to dial.
I don't think so.
Yeah. but in terms of, if you think about the technology, right, if you want to reach us via the website through the Get Started button, you can do that. If you want to call, you can do that. And in terms of the way in which then we have really, I think, as Dave was talking about, taking that whole team approach to working with prospects and clients. It's about when you come in, right, we're going to want to get some basic information, have that conversation, do some data gathering. It's really about finding more about you and listening as opposed to telling you what we do. Because I think that sometimes people are more concerned, if I go in, am I just going to be kind of, you know, given a sales pitch? No, it's about listening, finding out where are you and where do you want to go and how can we help you on that financial journey, and then bringing that full scope of talent to support you along that path. And I think that really is one of the big differences that differentiates us. Other firms, they might focus a little bit more narrowly on, let's say, just what are your insurance needs or what are your investment needs. But to bring that all together, because I know that, I mean, speaking personally, I don't like having to deal with so many different people. Like,
yes,
if I have an issue,
yes,
who do I call? Well, here, you don't have to worry about it, right? You just have one contact number, one way, and you have a ton of people who are going to be able to pounce on that.
All the resources under one roof. Having someone ready to answer your questions can make all the difference. You get a form or a statement in the mail, it's confusing or it gives you uncertainty, or you see or hear about something you'd like to pursue. We're here. We can help answer those questions. Click the Get Started button like we just talked about at annexwealth.com. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Money Talk is straight talk from a local fee-only fiduciary. It's time to know the difference. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. The United States is on the brink of a demographic shift known as the Silver Tsunami. You might have seen this in the news. And as millions of baby boomers approach retirement age, this wave is going to have implications for the economy, healthcare, housing, just about everything, the workforce. Today, we're diving into what this means for businesses, communities, and individuals, and how we can prepare for the changes ahead. And to help us do that is Senior Wealth Manager at Annex, Keith Butler. Hi, Keith.
Joe, great to be here.
Let's talk about the silver tsunami.
Yeah.
It's kind of a buzz term, I guess, in the news. What is it and why might it be a significant demographic event?
Well, yeah, and I guess I'm a perfect guy to talk about this because I'm in that group. We're talking about the baby boom. Baby boom are the individuals generally who were born between 1946 and 1964. Certainly made sense as soldiers came back from the war and started families. There's just a great number of births during that time. Why it's a significant event is that baby boomers control a lot. Number one, it's a very wealthy generation overall, had leadership positions, private and public sector. And with that aging population, you're going to get, because that's a pretty wide age range. I mean, you've got people who are just turning 62, all the way up to people who will be turning 80 this year, which is really kind of crazy to think about. Obviously, you've got retirements coming up. You've got a lot of healthcare needs. That's going to be a real shift from this generation to the next because each one has their own areas of expertise.
And in leadership positions, like you mentioned, you're probably going to want to take a look at some succession plans if you have your own business. That's another aspect of it that we didn't say.
Oh, absolutely. Did a lot of this work back in the day when I was in a private practice of law. Did a lot of succession planning for individuals where you think, thinking down the road, do you have the right successor? Is it a family business? Do you have the right successor already on staff? Are you going to be selling out? So those are things you should really be thinking about in advance so you're not putting it all together in the last year.
And that's how it might affect the businesses over the next decade. What direct impact do you think it might have on the labor market?
It surprised me a little bit that the research showed that there are a lot of healthcare people that'll be retiring that's not being replenished. I know that manufacturing definitely does. Trades and manufacturing, you have a lot of skilled labor that is in the older generation that the younger generation really has not gotten into much.
And in that field, but also healthcare systems, it might pose a little bit of a challenge along with the Social Security programs as well.
Right. Well, yes, Social Security is a whole nother ballgame with all of this. It's also replenishing that Social Security money. We'll talk about that in a little bit because that's one thing that really has to be addressed. People have a lot of questions about that.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, the Social Security end of things we've heard, oh, it's going away for, I don't know, 20 years. I mean, since I've been a kid or since I could understand what it was, where are things at? What kind of questions are you getting about it?
Just that. Is this going to be around? Should we figure it into our financial plan? Because that's, of course, what we do here. The basis of what we do is people's financial plan, because what we want to do is make sure that we get folks that come in here, whatever stage of life, and making sure that they are able to retire comfortably. Even when we have younger clients who are in their 30s and 40s, it's like, well, the financial plan gets really speculative. That the question we get is Social Security going to be there? Should it be in the plan? I really believe that it will be, because when you do what we do every day, you realize what a disaster this would be if it went away, which is almost impossible because you still have some workers paying into it, but a great reduction of that because so many people rely on it. When Social Security was first set up, people would retire at 64, 65 and die at 72. So you'd need to fund about 7, 8, 9 years of life. People are in their 90s. Years ago, you'd think somebody's 90, that's this insanely old age, but there are a lot of people that are making it to 90 now. So you have a lot more years to fund. So now it's defined contribution plans like 401k plans. You put the money in, let it accumulate, and then when you retire, go on your way and take your money.
So important to know what you own and why. And what about opportunities for innovation or economic growth that come with this demographic shift?
Well, one thing we can rely on in the United States is innovation. There'll always be a lot of good innovation in this. As you see certain jobs going away or certain skills going away, there are also technology that's filling that gap.
Then how many times have we said AI over the past year? Right. Quite a bit, more and more. And what about some steps individuals can take now to prepare for the effects of that silver tsunami or maybe some of the policymakers?
Number one, getting back to Social Security, there are no painless ways to fix this, but there are so many levers you can pull. The way it's been addressed lately, meaning in the last decade or two, is to push back the full retirement age. And that sort of addresses what the problem is. In other words, it collapses a little bit that growing gap between retirement and death. But the other things you could do is lift the cap on earnings. That would probably buy years of extra Social Security. Or, you know, you hate to say it, but raise the tax a little bit. But one way or another, everybody is pretty much on Social Security, has a parent on Social Security, has a grandparent on Social Security. They don't want to see them suffer. There are a lot of levers that can be pulled to buy more time and to make this system work.
Certainly something we'll help keep an eye on here with our continuing education. He is Senior Wealth Manager at Annex, Keith Butler. Thanks for being on the show today.
My pleasure, Joe.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management. Click that Get Started button at annexwealth.com.
Financial planning at every level. Annex Ignite. Annex Comprehensive Wealth. Annex Private Client. This is Money Talk. The Annex Wealth Management Show on WTMJ.
Hey, glad you found us. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. This is, of course, also a podcast on demand. As soon as the show is over, you can download it. It was a big April for people downloading the podcast, so thank you for downloading, or if you're listening to us on the radio. The Axiom, that is our newsletter with our Week in Review video from this show on your email on Sunday mornings. Just search Annex Axiom. It's an easy way to be reminded about our weekly content and the things we are watching that probably relate to your situation. Other podcasts, too, like The Wealthiest, Ideas, Strategies, and Decisions of the Wealthy in America. Some people you might know as guests on that recently. And the SWOT podcast, Strengths, Weaknesses, Opportunities, and Threats of the Current Market, with a new episode first thing Monday morning. And our brand new Women in Wealth podcast, featuring special guests helping to empower women of all ages through genuine conversations. And that's been a good month for that podcast as well, talking about money lessons we learned from mom. Chief Economic Strategist Dr. Brian Jacobson is here, and CEO of Annex, Dave Spano.
Thanks, Joe. You know, as the market heads towards 50,000 on the Dow, in fact, it's been a really fast recovery, right? It's one of the fastest that we've seen in history. And you look at that and go, well, do I have FOMO? Is there the fear of missing out? Or did the train leave the station already because it's recovered so much so fast? So we have a list of things that we look at to see if we are getting towards the top, because we really had a melt up, is the word that New York analysts like to use. Are we at a top? But you look at a lot of numbers that are fundamental in nature and technical in nature, and we're not seeing a blow off top quite yet.
I would agree with that in terms of when you think about previous blow-off tops, because that's kind of how we develop our expectation, is look back at history because it's the guide that we have, and what happened before things like, you know, the global financial crisis, what happened before the tech bubble burst, right? What were some of those indicators that maybe set the stage for saying there were some vulnerabilities? Biggest one that a lot of people look at is the valuations number, right? The price to earnings. What we tend to do too is also incorporate not just what is the current earnings, but also future earnings.
Right.
Are those reasonable expectations? So a little bit of a kind of a nuance there. And as we talked about at the beginning of the show, that price to earnings ratio has actually come down as
which
opposed
crazy,
to going up.
Right?
Yeah.
So if you're just looking at price, which some people do, but you have to look at it in relative basis. And you say that a lot during our investment committee meetings.
Yep. Yep. That is correct. And it often is multidimensional, right? It's not just earnings. For some areas, it could be looking at, you know, what's the cash flow, what's the book value. But it really is, that's why know the difference, right? And in terms of knowing where you should probably be for the long term, that's where valuations can perhaps help. Oftentimes, though, the blow-off tops are more around sentiment, those swings in sentiment. When I look at a few of them, CNN, they have a fear and greed index, and you can see how that can swing from extreme fear to extreme greed. When it tends to be very volatile, bouncing back and forth, I just think that it shows that the market is doing that proverbial climbing a wall of worry.
That's right.
There's this big worry out there about high energy prices. What is that going to do? And the market, it can maybe defy those expectations. There's other sentiment indicators as well. The Association for Individual Investors, so the AAII, they have a survey that they put out every week, and it shows how many of you are bullish, how many are bearish. And it's interesting how that
has swung.
I always
think it's a contraindicator. That's just my opinion,
right? Yep. So if you have a lot of people who are bearish relative to bulls, right, that's usually a sign, well, maybe that's a bottom. And I don't see that at an extreme level of extreme, like, exuberance,
right?
Because that's what Sir John Templeton kind of talked about, is that you have bull markets, they're born on pessimism, then they grow on skepticism, they mature on optimism, and then they die on exuberance.
Right.
And
exactly.
I don't think we're close to that exuberance.
I agree with that. And here's the other thing. When you look at the portfolio and go, well, maybe I should put all of my chips in AI stocks, obviously that's a really bad idea, right?
Yep.
But we build asset allocations every day across all of our offices. We offer a second opinion of where people are at. And they go, well, here's my asset allocation. And a lot of times they are shocked when we put this x-ray up on the screen and say, this is really what you look like in comparison to, say, an index.
Oh, yeah. That is one of the neatest tools I think that we have, and is a real differentiator, is to be able to do that side-by-side comparison as to what is in the market, like what percentage is in technology, these different areas as far as sectors, or then you can also look at it by countries, right? Kind of depending on it as a global, and then load in their existing portfolio. And it is a snapshot in time, right?
Yeah.
So those can change, of course. But to do that side-by-side comparison, I think it can really highlight for people about whether or not it might be prudent to make any modifications if they are maybe all in on one theme or one sector.
And that's why we talk about diversification and balance and risk monitoring. But we have a portfolio that we call core and tactical. And the core piece, which you're running, the core piece, of course, is supposed to be passive.
Yep.
And the tactical piece is supposed to add alpha. Now, that's somebody just heard that and go, what the heck is that?
That's right. So let's unpack that a little bit. The idea is to have that core be aligned with the long-term financial plan, right? And we're talking about it's going to be client-specific as far as is it, you know, it depends on your age, your goals, and all that.
Tolerance for risk.
Exactly. Right. So the core could be in terms of where it's really aligned for that longer term. For some people, long term might be 7 years. For others, it might be 70, right? Yeah. But it's to have it where it's a low turnover and try to make it where it's going to be trying to add value through more systematically biasing the portfolio towards not making big bets, just small little tilts towards more profitable companies, those that maybe have more attractive valuations, mm-hmm. right? So that's the core. You don't want it to really upset the apple cart. Now, we can also have the tactical portion, so the tilts around that core, right? So you have the nice solid core, and then you can build around that in terms of helping to navigate through what are the dominant market narratives, changes in the themes, changes in sentiment. And that's what we do on a regular basis with the investment committee.
So, for example, now if you thought maybe earlier in the year that energy could be an opportunity based on what was happening through the Straits of Hormuz, or for example, the data center build out, all of those you could do overweights or underweights. And by the way, going to cash is one of those things too that you can do. If you see the train coming down the track, right, you can make some modifications. But this is the core and tactical that we align with your financial plan, and you have to go through the process. You just can't listen to this radio show and say, I'm going to try to replicate that. It is every person for themselves.
That's right. Yeah, we should have that disclaimer. Do not try this at home. Right.
Click the Get Started button at annexwealth.com, and happy Mother's Day. Another episode of Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show podcast is ready right now on the radio station website, or just search Annex Money Talk. For Dave Spano and Dr. Brian Jacobson, I'm Joe Krause. Have a great week. Join us again next Saturday at 10 a.m. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 620 WTMJ.
Advice and opinions expressed during Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, are solely that of the hosts or guests of Annex Wealth Management, and not WTMJ Radio or Good Karma Brands Milwaukee, LLC.